Okay, what is going on YouTube? Welcome back to another FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, you can look at all the stats you want, all the XG, all of the will they score, won't they score, but in some weeks, West Brom will just score 5 goals at Stamford Bridge. It's just going to happen. You can't predict it.
That game was ridiculous.
The most ridiculous game. What were the stats? We went on shows, podcasts, we did this live stream a couple of weeks ago, and we were targeting Chelsea West Brom as a bang, nailed on, clean sheet. As clean a sheet as you could ever hope to have, that Chelsea clean sheet. 2 goals in however many they've conceded, Chelsea. West Brom can't hit a cow's backside with a banjo. All of a sudden, they turn into peak Brazil. That third goal, was it the third or the fourth goal? The fourth goal for West Brom was insanely good. How do you even start to explain that?
No, you don't. I mean, you're a scene on Instagram yesterday. You can't. I mean, I sat there and
ridiculous.
I was like, I've got to document my reactions to these because this is ridiculous.
Oh, you did like a number of reactions as the game went on, didn't you? It was crazy.
I was just like, how am I going to fit this into a 1 minute Insta reaction? I better react as we go.
Can West Brom get out of it?
No. No. I mean,
sorry, Baggy fans. No.
Let's be real here. Fluke result. Because Chelsea were down to 10 men and West Brom played well. But they haven't got...
Was it a red card for Silva? 2 yellows?
Well, yeah.
What were you saying?
Silly boy.
I don't know, you know. I'd like to know your thoughts in the comments in the live chat. I was a bit...
The thing is,
Tuchel... He tried to block that second one, didn't he? And he kind of fell over his... I don't know. Harsh,
actually,
I thought.
In many ways, I blame Tuchel. Because he did say, at the end of the game, when they asked him about it, he played him. He was going to play him for 45 minutes to get match fitness. And he thought it would be okay against West Brom.
Needs him for that Champions League, doesn't he? That's the thing.
That would be funny. If the guy is not match fit, he's going to be late. Because that's what happens when you're not match fit. Right?
Totally, yeah. Totally. There we go. We'll discuss that game in a bit more detail later on. The more astute of you will know that we have a new little... I don't know what this is. What are we calling this little tactics board? What are we saying here? What is this?
It's a tactics board.
How are we going to use it?
Well,
right, so here's the story is you saw it on eBay, I'm going to get that. It looks really good. I don't know what to do with it, but it looks good.
In the beginning, pre-season, I said, I think we should get a tactics board. And then whenever someone does really well, they can get their face on the Hall of Fame for that game week.
Hence,
Swatkins
Mr. Ollie Watkins, who's been a little bit controversial. But no, he hasn't been controversial. I've been a little bit controversial with Watkins on Twitter.
Oh, what have you said?
No, it's nothing.
For goodness sake,
it's nothing.
You haven't been on Twitter for weeks. And what have you done?
Do you know what? There was people popping up in my mentions saying, has your account been hacked, Lee? Has your account been hacked? Because you've not been on Twitter for ages. And I tweeted something about Watkins today and it's kicked off.
You are a nightmare.
I do apologise to anybody that I offended on Twitter.
Lee's eating too much chocolate today.
I am on a massive sugar high, honestly. I've had Easter egg after Easter egg today.
Also, it doesn't help that I made him the most ridiculous... I'll post the picture on Instagram later. I made the most ridiculous cheesecakes inside an Easter egg today.
It blew up the tweet. So basically, the tweet was... what was the tweet? It was words to the effect of Ollie Watkins, proof that without any talent you can still get an England cap. Believe in your dreams, people. Right, so, all right, it was out there, no doubt about it. But tell me apart from today's goal, he's shown me nothing, Watkins, from an FPL perspective, and not a lot from a football perspective. He did all right for England, but listen, I personally think he's overrated. But the point is, it was my opinion. There were some people that were coming back with, you know, I think you're wrong, Lee, because, you know, actually, he's been great for 2 years in lower leagues, where it's actually arguably harder than, you know, except.
Okay.
But there were some people that they just went in. They went absolutely in. I got absolutely abused.
They just didn't.
Going back to the tactics. He's on the screen.
So the idea was,
could you lift your tee up for a second? Because I'm going to move the microphone a bit closer to you. I'm too loud and you're too quiet, apparently. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to move it there.
Okay.
And then I'm going to be quieter and you can be louder.
Okay.
There we go.
So the idea was that when we were doing important things like bench boosting, we could have the players that were bench boosting on there wild carding, although we didn't get around to this because we've eaten too much chocolate. So instead I just picked out 3 players that were important. Bruno's there because he's playing at the moment. Mason Mount because he came on
elite
and scored.
Elite Bruno, by the way. Nothing elite,
Bruno.
About that first half from Manchester United.
Not a lot of elite going on
I'll
there.
I'll tell you.
And Watkins... Well, I didn't know that you'd wound everyone up, but Watkins, because he scored.
Who was Mason? So Mason Mount has only just been up there. Who did you have a second ago?
Well, I actually prepared this
pre-game week.
So Watkins was there just because I thought he might be a talking point. Because I benched him. Did you bench him?
I made him a talking point. I did bench him, yeah, but he's coming on, thankfully.
Oh, he's not coming on for me. Bruno, because he was going to play. And Raheem Sterling. Pointless.
Talking point, though. Talking I've point, Raheem Sterling. But he is gone. Chucked out of a lot of people's FPL teams, I suspect, as well. More on him a bit later on. But yeah, I genuinely, I don't know what we're going to do with this, guys, going forward. But we'll just have a few Panini stickers of some key players for the game week. And Mr. Ollie Watkins, absolutely key to the game week.
I might super glue him.
Absolutely key to my afternoon on Twitter, no doubt about
it. He can be there every week. Here, let's give him a whistle as well. Here, Ollie.
Let's give him a whistle.
Have a whistle.
Why not? Yeah, why not? Mr. Ollie Watkins.
And also, VAR ruled out his pen.
That can be the VAR magnet. By the way, for the podcasters, this is complete rubbish, isn't it?
Oh, apologies, podcasters.
We should explain that we've got this new...
It looks like a pitch. It's a magnetic pitch.
Get onto YouTube. Have a look at the video. We've got this like magnetic pitch behind us. Very small, where the FPL family sign used to be. And we've got three Panini stickers with, you know, some magnets on it as well. It's... I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. I don't know what it's going to be. For podcast listeners, it's absolute guff, isn't it? Let's be honest. But for the YouTubers, wonderful stuff.
I mean, I love it.
You love it. I don't even know what it is, Sam.
Anything could happen on this over the next few weeks.
And to
literally
be honest,
anything.
I don't even know what football and FPL is anymore. What a game week this has been. What a game week. I look at my team. I've got ones and twos all over the place. And if we look at, you know, how the bigger, not bigger teams, how the teams at the top end of the table got on this weekend.
Well, does no one want to play in Europe?
Does no one want to play in that top four? I mean, listen, points being dropped left, right and centre. We've already mentioned Chelsea. Your boys dropping a couple of points. Leicester dropping points. Arsenal dropping points.
Man United Liverpool currently losing.
Maybe back on track. We'll talk about later on. But yeah, United now losing to Brighton. And of course, that game is still ongoing. So if there's a goal or any incident, FPL incident in that game, guys, let us know in the live chat. But weird game week, very weird game week. We'll talk about it in detail a bit more later on. But I want to say hello to a few people first. Marco Leary is in. How are we doing, Mark? He's saying, I think Silva is talented. That's it, everything. Everyone's talentless now.
Who?
Silva is talentless.
Which one?
It doesn't matter.
Because your one didn't get booked for 60 minutes. So actually, that's an improvement.
True enough. Finn McCann is in. Evening, guys. Love your videos. Hey, Finn.
Hey,
very
Finn.
Nice to see you. Thank you, mate. Lawrence Narunha. Hey, Lawrence. Very nice to see you. FPL Tips is in. Hey, Tips. Hey, Harry. Very nice to see you, mate. How did you feel?
I put Mount up here.
About that game, mate. That was a real shocker, wasn't it? An absolute real shocker. TJK Gamer is in. How are we doing? Liron Bard is in. Very nice to see you, Liron. Alex B is in. He says, hey, guys. First time live, Alex. Welcome.
Oh,
very nice to see you, mate. Teddy Usher is in. A regular. So we see Teddy in the live chat. Teddy, hello. How are you? James Morgan is in. He says, Spurs are ridiculously flaky. Time to accept we are now a second tier team. Ooh, some shots fired there from James Morgan.
No, he said he's part of us.
He's a Spurs fan, presumably.
Nobody else would say that. That could only have come from another Spurs fan.
Harry Watson is in. Hey, Harry. He says, hi, what a time to be a West Ham fan. A West Brom fan.
They've got to have something to look forward to, haven't they?
Like, yeah. Crazy, right? Crazy. Gabriel Langton is in. He says, I Captain Kane, you and most of FPL, I think, Gabriel. That really hurt me not having him today.
Did tell
and
you.
And I'll tell you what, that second finish was absolutely... As soon as that ball fell to him, I was like, that's going in the corner.
But actually, unlucky not to
what
get free.
What a finish. The first one... A little bit jammy because...
Oh,
no.
Stop
I
it.
Know, the lemons
stop
are coming up again.
It. You're so bitter.
I know, but Kraft, I don't know why Kraft decides he's going to play it off of Kane's shin. I don't know why the keeper decides to go to ground. It's a minging goal, but the second goal was absolutely top class.
Third one would have been nice as well if you'd have
tell me this,
in.
Have we got, England got, the world's best striker going into the Euros right now?
He's just the world's best person. Stop, end, move on.
He's the world's best person, guys. You heard it here first. I think, honestly...
he's unbelievable. If he brings
that form to the Euros, we've got
striker,
every chance.
Forget,
every
honestly, chance. He's the best. I believe that currently that man is the best footballer on the planet.
He is, without doubt, very, very good. No doubt about it. Not finished, as somebody mentioned last season. FPL Tips has got the lemon emojis out, mate. You're absolutely right. Kane is punishing me for that comment last season. Absolutely punishing me over the last few weeks. 3 weeks ago, when I decided not to get him in for a hit, that has cost me about 40 points and about 150k of rank, guys. Honestly, one of my worst decisions this week.
That's why the trophy's still staying with you, by the look of it.
But it is going to be fixed. I am going to fix that. I am going to rectify it. And as of next week, Kane will fall off a cliff because I will have him in my FPL team.
The wild card. If he gets injured next week, I'm telling you, me and you, we're full out.
The wild card is active. The button is pushed. I am playing it. And I have a wildcard draft for you to have a look at.
Is Kane ready in it?
At the end of it. I haven't transferred him in yet. But as soon as he's looking to go up in price, I will have him. He's undoubtedly... I mean, you just have to, don't you? I mean, it'd be absolutely ridiculous not to. He will be in my wildcard.
I'm intrigued to see which of your strikers is going out.
I mean, this Muppet, wasn't it?
He's just scored!
Give over his rubbish.
Although I'm intrigued by the Grealish thing. We've got to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, how... Dean Smith, will you just give us an update that we can believe in Grealish?
Does anyone trust Dean Smith?
He felt... He was feeling really good. He was going to play... Just felt something and
yesterday,
we thought, actually,
what?
Dean Smith, he hates FPL,
Last time he got ill.
Dean Smith hates FPL managers.
He's coming back for tomorrow's game. Oh, sorry, he's ill this morning. What, and now yesterday he's injured again? I don't understand what's happening.
Can't wait for him to be back for the trip to Anfield next week. Oh, man alive.
Yeah, but he won't be. If we say he's back and then 2 minutes before the kickoff, it'd be...
Oh, I don't know. Azzy is in. How are we doing, Azzy? Very nice to see you. Lee, you took pelters for the Watkins tweet. Yes, I did, mate. It was a fun afternoon, I can tell you. There was a lot of good debate. There was a lot of not so good stuff, but there was a lot of good debate.
Have you been blocking people?
A little bit. Nathan Joplin is in. Hey, Nathan, how are you doing, mate? What is your overall rank, mate? What is your live rank right now? We want to know, Nathan.
Get back
Nathan,
in that top 10.
One of our patrons. I don't know why I say one of our patrons and he's in the top 10. It's got nothing to do with the fact he's one of our patrons. It's just the fact that he's really good at FPL. If he's getting some input from us on a week-to-week basis, I'd like to think that we've contributed a little bit.
I think we contribute the fun.
Just generally speaking,
we can
absolutely nothing about
comedy.
Nathan's top 10 overall rank can be attributed to us. I'm absolutely convinced by
no.
that. And to be honest with you, nor would I want it to. If Nathan was top 10 and said, "What do you think, Lee?" and I went, "Oh yeah, go for Salah or whatever," and then he blanked, I'd feel dreadful.
But we did have this, didn't dreadful. We did have this. Nathan asked our opinion on something the other week and I gave it and it was the wrong one.
I feel absolutely dreadful. Right, that is enough hellos. There's loads of you in. So guys, thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. We should absolutely say that. We should absolutely say happy Easter.
All we've done is talk about eating chocolate, but we haven't actually wished everyone a happy Easter.
Happy Easter to all of you that are celebrating Easter. We've had a very nice Easter weekend and I have eaten far too much chocolate. That is
we've
a fact.
We've actually been able to see some people here in the UK this weekend.
Well, this is it. The UK lockdown is easing, little by little. It's not anywhere near finished, but it is easing to the point where we can have grandparents and things like that in our gardens now, which is, to be honest with you, and for some of you in some countries, I know that's still quite a way off, right? So
it
we are
nice.
Honestly very, very lucky and pleased to have that. It's, you know, I didn't think I'd be sitting here 18 months ago saying I'd be so pleased to just, you know, have a cup of tea with my mum and dad in the garden. But that was such a nice thing to do. It really was a nice thing to do. It was incredible. Let's have a look at these fixtures then, Sam. We've got to get into Sir Fantasy Football Scout. These are the fixtures. Have I changed the OBS? Yes, I have. Here we go. So, I think we start at the top, don't we? I mean, we just touched on it at the top of the show. I don't know how to explain this game.
Well,
are we putting this down to... So, here's the question, right? So... You're rolling, or you were rolling. I am rolling with the wild card in 31. And before this game, I'm like, right, well, this is a clean sheet. I'm double, maybe treble Chelsea defence on the wild card. I'm all in on Chelsea defence.
Right.
And then they concede 5 at home to West Brom.
Yeah,
should that change our thinking?
No.
Is it a blip?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. Right. I mean, look, let's be honest. The lunchtime game after international break is always weird. It's always weird. Normally not like this. Normally, it's weird because it's like a really boring, nothing happens plod through a game. Because it takes a while, because they've only just got back together again, let's be honest. And there was quite a few changes to that Chelsea side. Partly, I think, on the back of what had happened over international break with the minutes that people like Mount had got.
They missed him, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Massively missed him.
And then Rudiger obviously didn't play, but apparently there was a bit of a bust-up. Did you see this?
Well, I did see that he and Kepa had a bit of a bust-up in the camp.
Kepa's a nightmare.
One to look out for, isn't it? Because I must admit, coming out of that game, you know, Chelsea defensively poor, and you think, well, as a Rudiger owner, if you were a Rudiger owner, then you've obviously dodged a bit of a bullet there. But actually, if I owned Rudiger, I'd probably be feeling pretty good about the fact that he left him out and they got tanked. Yeah. So surely he doesn't leave him out again. Surely that nails Rudiger down, doesn't it? Or have we got to keep an eye on this route?
Well, now we've got to see what happens, because he got sent home from training, didn't he, today, because of what
happened. Is that what happened?
Apparently so.
It's not. Is everything all right in the Chelsea camp? They're flying, right? It's a bad result, I get it.
Yeah, but it's always Kepa. Whenever there's a bad thing happens at Chelsea, it's always Kepa.
Something about
anyway,
that.
Anyway, look, so that's beside the point. But I think they were going into that game with a number of players that were just not normal. It wasn't a normal Chelsea lineup, let's be honest. And then the Silva sending off affected them. It did. Because they were actually comfortable until that point. They were playing fine. It wasn't the best game I've ever seen in my life, but it wasn't the worst Chelsea performance I've ever seen in my life. And then West Brom just were like, you could almost see them switch on when that they went down to 10 men. It was almost like, we've got a chance now.
Yeah.
And they went for it. To be fair to them, they went for it.
They weren't bad. No. Even before the red card. They actually started the game pretty well on the front foot. And I remember looking at it thinking, I remember looking at the first sort of 10 minutes thinking, all right. Probably the better side here. Mm. And in a game where I was absolutely expecting Chelsea to dominate every single statistic, I did look at that and think, I just wonder whether they could do something. And I wonder whether the red card, just they had a bit of belief coming into the game. Maybe they saw it as a bit of a free hit, right? Maybe they're going into that game thinking, no one's expected us to get anything at Chelsea. They're banging form. Let's just go there and play and see what happens. Play with freedom. Maybe there's a bit of, you know, we're already down, so screw it. Let's just go out there.
Maybe.
And maybe the red card just exacerbated that feeling. Well, I don't know.
It definitely seemed to, because I was watching that game. It was like a West Brom side that I'd never seen before. It was like they got some confidence from that 10 men. It was almost like they just thought, if we can't win this, we're not going to win anything. So let's just go and give it our all. And they played phenomenally well. Now, what does that mean for Chelsea moving forwards? Absolutely nothing, in my opinion. Maybe there's a bit of uncertainty around Rudiger at the moment with the Kepa thing. I don't really know the ins and outs of it. I just saw it pop up and thought, well, that's interesting. But the reality of this situation is that I cannot see that Chelsea don't get back to winning ways as of next week. The fixtures are too nice for the next couple. So I think if you're invested in the Chelsea defence, which, let's be honest, a lot of us are now, you don't de-invest as a result of this.
I will just say, so Harry's, so FPL Tips in the live chat, as is Lawrence Naronha. Thank you guys for the comments. Both Chelsea fans, by the looks of things.
Oh, good.
Saying, actually, take that Kepa and Rudiger stuff with a bit of a pinch of salt. It's come from a journalist who has spread rumours a little bit about when Frank was going, and apparently both the guys are saying that journalist is a bit of a wind-up merchant.
Okay.
So just,
well, let's hope that's true.
It's certainly something to keep your eye on.
I mean, I don't.
But let's see.
I mean, the reality of this situation is that even if that is true, the impact that it has on Rudiger, it's not like Kepa plays.
Totally.
I don't think it's going to be hugely detrimental to Rudiger's ability to start games. They clearly missed him.
Well, as Azzy was saying, Azzy, you're spot on, because I listened to Mark McGettigan, the FPL Generals podcast, early in the week, and he did go 3 Chelsea on his wildcard. And listen, no one was saying that's a bad idea. Right?
No one was saying that's a bad idea.
We've got Rahul in the chat as well saying, tell me, how did you go on the FPL show and suggest double Chelsea defence? Well, I'll tell you, mate. I'll tell you how I did it. I looked at the stats for the last 10 to 12 weeks since Tuchel's been there and gone, bloody hell, they've only conceded 2 goals and they're playing a team that cannot score any goals.
Mm.
That, for me, makes absolute sense
and
to double on the Chelsea defence.
And James was talking about trebling, wasn't he? James was on about 100%. Trebling. And I think the reality of the situation is that for the majority of people that were wildcarding going into this week, or even for people that were already invested in the Chelsea defence, you look at the fixtures and you look at the performances that the defenders at Chelsea have put in, and it made absolute sense for at least the next 3 game weeks to be double up on the Chelsea defence with the keeper and a defender, or if you were taking a bit of a pump before a wild card, with Alonso and another defender of choice. So I just think it's really, really bad luck. And it was just an anomaly, and I don't see it continuing. I suspect we'll see Chelsea back to winning ways next week. Tuchel basically owned it, didn't he? He came out and said, my fault.
He did. Fair play to him. He put his hands up, didn't he? Yeah. Which is what you want to see. If you're a player, you want to see the manager taking responsibility like that.
So
I like Tuchel. Do you like Tuchel? I rate him very highly.
I think he's a good manager. I don't really know a lot of, I don't really know a lot about him as a person, like as in terms of his character. But I thought he owned that interview incredibly well, and he obviously is a decent manager for the turnaround that's happened at Chelsea since he's taken over.
Ones to watch for next year, Chelsea. Yeah. Seriously, ones to watch for next season. I think Tuchel is an elite manager. I've said it all along, and I do think he'd get it right, no doubt about it. Mahmoud Khan, thank you for the super chat. Bloody Chelsea, he says. Zero from Rudiger. Actually says that. Zero from Rudiger and Mendy. Only 7 points on his bench boost. Thumbs down. I'll take, though, 61 points with three hammers tomorrow. That is a good score this week, Mahmoud. No doubt about it. He's up to 87k, which is a great rank. Do I stay with Rudiger? Well, as we suggested before, the fact that they conceded five without him, to me, would suggest yes.
I think he'd be...
I would stick with Rudiger because I think that showed that they really needed him back. From an attacking sense, though, because a lot of wildcarders and even non-wildcarders might be looking at that Chelsea side and saying, all right, but if this is a blip, I still want to invest. Are we any clearer on who we're investing from the attackers yet? Or are we still saying it's too much of a minefield?
No, it's Mount or no one for me, in my opinion.
Still just Mount, yeah.
Werner was absolutely useless. Again, useless.
He really was, wasn't he?
And I don't like to have a go at him because, you know, he's clearly a talented player. But his performances and his form, even for Germany, was just awful over international break.
He missed the sitter for Germany, didn't he?
Yeah, and did against West Brom. Like, had opportunities, was just woeful. Pulisic went off just after half time. Apparently, he just felt something. It was a precautionary thing. So it looks like he's probably come off before it was a problem, which is a good thing for me. But the key thing listening and watching Chelsea in that game was that when Mount come on, they were better going forward.
He's another one to keep an eye on, though. I think, it's my opinion, Werner will come good next year, I think.
But you're not going to invest... If you're going Chelsea forwards not for the rest right now. Of this season, you're not going Werner, you go Mount.
Not right now. The guys in the live chat are saying it's 1-1 in the Manchester United game. Rashford has got the goal. Bruno's got the assist.
Well, that's so good to Man or Beast. Where's Luke Shaw in this?
No Luke Shaw, I'm afraid.
Guys, could you please just have a word with the screen? Tell Luke Shaw.
No Luke Shaw involved, I'm afraid. A super chat from Rahul. Thank you for the super chat, Rahul. Didn't leave a comment. So, Rahul, if you want to leave a comment... Oh, actually, I think you might have commented down here. Yes. How important is it to get rid of Bale now? All right, well, let's go there then. Let's have a chat about Newcastle 2, Spurs 2. I'll give my view in a second, but what did you make of the game? Apart from that 5 or 6 minutes from Kane where he was fantastic... I thought it was a bit lackluster from Spurs again. No, I did. What did you think?
Well, let's be frank. If you leave Son on the bench and you leave Bale on the bench, then it's going to be lackluster. Vinicius, in my view, is not good enough. He's fine as an understudy for Kane if we really need an understudy for Kane.
Oh no!
Bye, Mount.
Who's gone?
Bye.
Who's gone?
Mount.
Mason Mount.
It's because I hit him. I punched him.
I knew this was a bad idea. Great for the podcast, isn't it? This great for the podcast.
Let's give him a
Mason Mount has fallen from grace off of the new tactics board.
And I think, you know, for me, he's not good enough. He's not a strike partner for Harry Kane. They don't work very well together. I thought Lucas Moura had a bit of an off day today, which he hadn't been. He'd been really good. I thought Celso was good. But there was a lot of changes in that Spurs side. I thought defensively we just looked ropey again. And for me, the big problem with Spurs is that historically, when we were good, we were playing out from the back and there was a transition up the field. But the defence at the moment is shifting left, right and centre. So today it was Tanganga and Reggie as wing-backs, that's fine. But then in the middle, we had Rodon and Sanchez. And it's like, well, the changes are totally... He left Toby out of the squad altogether today. Mm. You need some consistency in that, particularly in those two, the pairing in the middle. And it doesn't really matter who it is for me, because they're all about the same as each other. But just pick a couple and stick with them and let them learn to play together. It doesn't work otherwise.
What about Rahul's question about Bale, though? Because he's now becoming very, very hard to have in FPL.
You can't own Bale, is my honest my honest view. I think I bought him in, obviously, for game week 29. And it was a case of, well, all right, he didn't play, but we got Newcastle next, so You can't take him out ahead of a trip to Newcastle. I think
you definitely can't.
You just can't. You can't make that change. It's too difficult. So you got
that would have been a risky change to do that. If Bale plays today, it could have been a different.
Particularly,
different question,
and, and the reason I was swayed on it because at the beginning of international break, I was like, no, I'm just going to take him out. Then I got swayed by game week 32 double, and then I got swayed again with the is Son okay, is Son not okay stuff, because I thought, well, if Son doesn't play, then surely he's got to play Bale in this game.
So what's your view then? Because obviously, despite this performance today, and by the way, I think I read somewhere that this was the 15th time Spurs have dropped points from winning positions? I mean, there's something wrong there mentally, I think. But obviously, despite this, a lot of managers will still be looking at Spurs because they got the double in 32. Is it a case of hold what you've got but don't add? Or how? Because you're certainly not selling your Spurs assets now, right?
Well, anyone I think that's, you are if you've got Bale.
If you've got Bale, you still think sell even with the double coming up?
Well, I'm going to sell him this week.
Wow, okay, all right.
Because he's not going to play. Okay. My issue is that Mourinho, to the comments that Bale made for Wales, and I hate to harp back to them, but they are exactly the sort of comments that really wound Mourinho up. And he will now not give him... I suspect that we won't see Bale get a huge number of minutes between now and the end of the season.
I
suspect that we're seeing him coming on like we did today. Now, in my view, you might get something out of Bale if he comes on at half-time like Son did today. But the reality of the situation is I can see him doing what he did and giving him 6 minutes. And then if you get 6 minutes in a game, well... And I said to you, I was so annoyed when he came on and took that free kick. So I was like, don't let him take it. He's not
He's
warm.
Just come on.
He's
not
got his eye
ball.
In. He hasn't seen the ball. He's not got a feel for the game. Why the hell is he taking it? Anyone else? But I'm going to send him this week. Okay. I think going into game week 32 with two Spurs players is enough, particularly considering game week 33 and the blank. I think for me also, watching Wigu...
Is it just Kane and Son, though? Is it as simple as that? Is it Kane and Son for 32 and then either, I guess, bench them both because you've got Sheffield United in 34? Is it that simple? To have a Reggie on or someone else or...
I think you can.
I don't know, is it too much?
No, I don't think so. So in the back of my head, I'm pondering on Kane and Son for 32.
Mm.
Because I'm bench boosting, I'm also pondering on Lloris for 32.
See, that might be a tactic I look at on my wild card, is to get Hugo Lloris in. Because if I get Hugo Lloris in, I can play him in 32 and just switch my keepers over for 33. I can have somebody else. I have got a rotating pair in my first wild card draft. He's not in it, I have to say. He's not in it. But he is one I'm considering because of that switch you can make in goalkeeper position.
And I still like the Reguilón pick. I do, because...
I thought he had a bad game today, Reguilón. Didn't think he was good today.
Most successful crosses in the game.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it was you watched it. I didn't really watch it. So
you were watching TikTok for most of it.
I did. It was not.
You were so annoyed by Kane. As soon as Kane got one, you were like,
I did just mostly watch TikTok. So you say Reguilón? If you say Reguilón played well, I'll give you that.
I mean, I don't think he played well defensively because I don't think any of them played well defensively. But he was getting forward certainly and doing enough attacking wise that made me think if we can get some defensive stability, then he might be a decent pick. So.
Defensively, I thought Spurs were all over the place. I do like Joe Rhodes, and I think he's a good player. And I've just found that the stat that he's the top for clearances, blocks, and interceptions in the game week so far with 20. The next best is Bednarek on 15. So Rhodes is way up there. But I thought Davinson Sanchez was all over the place today, and from what I saw. I didn't think much of Reguilón, but I will take your lead on that because I didn't watch it as close as you did.
I also think that he was told to go because Son wasn't there, so he spent most of his time attacking and not defending.
Yeah, okay.
Look, let's see. I think over the next few weeks there's scope for three as long as you're prepared to sell one of them at the back end of 32 going into 33. And I think if you get someone like Reguilón, you're happy to do that. You'll be happy to lose them before the next game. But with... getting Lloris, you have the benefit of being able to just sit him on the bench without it really being a big deal if you've got another keeper as well. So having Martinez and Lloris rotating for the next couple of weeks might be how I go.
Okay, any words on Newcastle? I mean, they were better today. They were better. But is this just a bit of temporary form? I mean, they've got to pick up points from somewhere, right?
They have, and Max was back for a little bit today, and they said during the game that Wilson should be back next week. I don't think he'll be available for the entire game, but he should be able to get some minutes next weekend. So, if...
We're not. I'm not sitting here thinking I must get Newcastle, though, are you?
No, I'm not. Sorry. But equally, you know, they are in trouble. And if they can get a bit of momentum going, then... I mean, this is going to be good momentum for them. Because, to be honest, they were really good. They were really good. Far better than Spurs.
Very difficult fixtures coming up, though. Burnley, then West Ham, Liverpool, Arsenal, Leicester. You're not investing ahead of that, are you?
Well, I don't think so, no. But if you really must, then...
Yeah, okay. All right. Enough said on that. There is a VAR check for a penalty to Brighton.
What?
In that game, by
the
way.
Oh, yeah, but they can't score penalties anyway, can they?
That is almost certainly a missed penalty for Brighton coming up. But, guys, let us know in the live chat what happens. That will be an assist and a goal for Bruno, potentially. But let's see.
Hang on.
Let's see
how that pans out. I thought you said it was a penalty for Brighton.
Oh, sorry, no, for Brighton. Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. Not from United, for Brighton. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I just assume there's a penalty in a United game. It's for Bruno. Where else to go? Let's talk about Leicester 0, Manchester City 2. Let's say a fairly routine victory for Man City. They didn't really break much of a sweat here, I didn't think. I was expecting a bit more from Leicester. What was your view on the game?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I benched Diaz this week. Just another one of my benching decisions. Because I looked at my back line, and when you've got players like Aspilicueta playing West Brom, should be a clean sheet more than Diaz against Leicester. Anyway, there were so many of them this week. In fact, none of my defenders have kept a clean sheet, apart from Diaz. But I think for me, I just was surprised by Leicester's lack of oomph. They felt like they just didn't really ever get going. Yeah. And it has been a bit of a thing with them at the King Power this season. They haven't really been as good at home as they have been on the way. Away from home.
It's not going to put me off looking at them for the wild card, though, because again, we keep going back to the fixtures with them, because it's West Ham up next away, which is tricky, but the next four after that are ridiculous. It's West Brom, Crystal Palace, Southampton, Newcastle, and with Maddison coming back into the team, I think I'm possibly looking at him, you know, more than I am the front boys. It's interesting that actually when Maddison comes on, the man to make way, Iheanacho, and I do have a bit of a concern. I know we were on the FPL show last week bigging up Iheanacho left,
right,
and centre.
No, to be fair to you, you won't.
But I just, and don't get me wrong, he's in cracking form and he can do well against these teams, no doubt. But by the time West Brom rolls around, you know, Madison's going to be back. I don't know about Harvey Barnes. We've got to see the fitness of the guy. But if he's thinking about coming back into the team, surely Rodgers goes back to his tried and tested, and he bins Iheanacho back off to the bench, doesn't he? Surely.
I mean, yes, probably.
Yeah,
there are other ways of doing it, though. It doesn't have to be Iheanacho that goes. I don't know. I was a bit surprised by Leicester's performance this weekend. I just thought they might have a bit more about them. I thought,
but then City doing what City do best, right? They played, they rested a few players. They've got the Champions League coming up. Ben Mendy comes in at left back, scores a goal. I mean, there's everything to like about Man City, as usual.
Apart from an FPL point of view.
Well, again, it's starting to get to the point where it is very, very difficult, a bit like Chelsea, to kind of...
More than Chelsea. Chelsea are less difficult, normally. In terms of picking an FPL asset. This is going to be a thing. Like, we said this on the FPL
it's
show.
Gonna be an FPL,
this is going to be a thing now, because obviously they've got the Champions League midweek, then they've got game week 31, then they've got the Champions League again, then they've got game week 32, then they've got the League
they
Cup
are,
final.
They are walking the league as well. It is being
Everyone
walked.
Else is collapsing around them, so they've done that. They now need to focus on Dortmund. The Dortmund 2 games are so important to them, and of course the League Cup final in 33 is going to be on their agenda. Maybe it's not as important to them as it is to Spurs, but they will want to retain it for about the millionth year in a row.
Yeah.
So for me, it makes investing in Man City almost impossible. Like the Diaz one, I feel comfortable owning Diaz, because whilst he may miss out here and there, I think he'll miss out less than the others. He seems to be the one that's most safe. KDB...
He comes across to me, Diaz, as someone that doesn't need much of a rest. He's a bit like a Van Dijk. He doesn't need resting. He kind of walks through the game with such authority that he barely breaks a sweat. I've been so impressed.
They also don't really have anyone to straight up replace him in the same way that they can the rest of the back line. But the rest of the back line,
maybe,
they have decent understudies. With him,
you've got Laporte and Stones on the same side, haven't you? Who would come in
there's not
Garcia, mate, not Garcia.
There's not really anybody major there underneath him that can take that place. Is I think the thing. Whereas you can rest Stones for Laporte.
Yeah.
You can rest Cancelo. Like there are other options available in those other places. And then of course you look at the middle and we see Sterling not playing, with Gundogan not playing. Like this, it's gonna happen.
More the Gundogan benching, I think you could have foreseen that. To be fair, because he played a hell of a lot of minutes over the international break, and even Cancelo did as well. So I wasn't surprised to see that. I agree with you. I think it's difficult to hang your hat on any Man City assets. I wish you could, because they look absolutely imperious, no doubt.
What about Aguero, though? Because I do wonder how many minutes Aguero is going to get in the Champions League. I do wonder whether he might, given that he's now said he's going, and therefore Pep's going to be playing, you would think, his best side in the Champions League. And I'm not sure Aguero is now part of his best side.
Yeah, in fact, Abhishek is in the live chat. Thanks for the comment, Abhishek. Does Aguero play most Prem games since he is not in the first team anymore? And, you know, they are walking the league, and maybe there's a bit of a nostalgic swan song for him to have here in the Premier League. Maybe there is.
There might be. I mean, like, the thing I question is it the Aguero that we love from an FPL point of view? Because I didn't see a lot of him against Leicester this weekend. But I think he's probably, him and Edison and Diaz are probably the ones that are most likely to play.
Edison and Diaz for sure, yeah. The rest is very, very difficult to call. Let's move on from that, Sam, and go to Arsenal 0, Liverpool 3.
The first time I've seen Lee smile in about...
A long time. No doubt about it.
I can't even remember.
I was super, super happy with the performance. And there's been a super chat from Rahul as well. Thank you for the super chat. Is it time for Jota now? Have the bench boost chip? When should I use it? Let's answer the Jota question then. You know, doesn't start the game.
Were you surprised he didn't start the game?
No, because I now believe that Jota is in that first 11 for Klopp. And he got Real Madrid on Tuesday in a competition which, let's face it, is our best chance, is our real only chance of silverware for the rest of the season. And Real Madrid, you know, it's not an easy game. By no stretch of imagination is it an easy game. But they have no Sergio Ramos. And they are not the Real Madrid that they have been in previous seasons. So do I think that we could go through in that tie? Yeah, I think we've got every chance over two legs.
Also, you're playing really well in Europe in a way that you haven't necessarily been in the Premier League.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the thing for me is, so my view on not just this game, but the who do we play in the Champions League? The Red Bull Leipzig games, the Wolves game previous. Now listen, we've got to do something about our home form. We need to beat Villa at home next time out because we need to get that monkey off our back. That losing streak at home needs to come to an end very quickly. But when we don't play at Anfield, we're really good. We're really, really good. And I don't know what it is about the mentality, but the way that the guys have approached, the way that Klopp has approached the games recently has been different and much better.
Do you think it goes back to the atmosphere at home? Like having been to Liverpool and sat, we didn't sit in the Kop, we sat in the Anfield Road end, but having sat there, the atmosphere in there is something that you can't really explain.
Yeah.
And I do wonder sometimes whether the bigger clubs or the clubs that have that atmosphere, whether it just lacks a little bit.
So no doubt, but that's an easy comment to make, right? Because we've not had fans in, you know, last year it was great in the atmosphere. The atmosphere at Anfield undoubtedly has had an effect, but we've been talking about that all season. What's changed more recently, the reason we've got a couple of wins together, is because a couple of things. One is we've just come off the back of a big rest. Now, on the FPL show last week, you said, they've had a massive rest. This is great for them. And I said, well, listen, Klopp likes momentum, he likes rhythm and all the rest of it. And I still stand by that statement, but I do think in this case against Arsenal, and we'll come to their performance in a minute, because they weren't good, Arsenal. Let's put that out there. They were bad, and we'll come to that in a minute. But I think the rest did do some of them quite good.
It was good bonding time. I still stand by that. That for those defenders, the new guys, Kabak and Phillips, the fact that, I know that Robertson went on international duty, but the fact that Trent didn't, and they had 2 weeks of just training together and being a bit more around each other.
Yeah,
and
but
I
again, that's
that
a, but again, that's an easy comment to make.
No,
right?
But I
so
do think
Kabak
that
and Phillips are not good centre halves, right? What makes them good is the protection they've got in front of them. Suddenly, putting Fabinho at central defensive midfielder has made the world of difference to everybody in the team, right? Mm. We've been talking. I've been banging this drum all season about how, you know, we've had to play Fabinho there, sometimes Fabinho and Henderson, which has been terrible at centre-half. And don't get me wrong, Fabinho has come in and he has done a reasonable job at centre-half because he's played there for Brazil and he's pretty good. But all season I've been saying, you've got to get him back into that central midfield because he is so important. He doesn't just protect the defence, but he allows Trent and Robbo to go and he just covers them. It's just, he is absolute Rolls-Royce of a CDM, no doubt.
I don't disagree with you, but I do genuinely think that when you watch those two together, forget the midfield, there hasn't been any communication in that back four. Like, there's all right, there's been a lot of changes in personnel this season, and I do think that that's key. But I think this 2 weeks being together, training without matches, is helpful when you've got two new players in your centre.
Sure.
And I think that in part is what I was saying about Spurs, that we've kind of, that's what they need. They need a time where they're not on international duty for 2 weeks, where they sit and they work out who's the best two, and then they train and they play together, and that's the end of it.
Everyone needs a pre-season, no doubt about it. Everyone needs a pre-season.
But I do think that actually these 2 weeks might have just been the catalyst for an improvement in their performances. And okay, given the fixtures that Liverpool have coming up, as an FPL manager, you look at those fixtures and think, that's prime for investing in the Liverpool defence. And having watched them against Arsenal, no, yes, Arsenal were very poor, but they looked more solid.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We've got a super chat from Azzy. Thank you, Azzy, for the super chat. He says, RIP Claude. Yeah, seriously, that was awful news over the weekend. Terrible performance from Arsenal. But yeah, shout out to the boys at Arsenal Fan TV because, yeah, Claude passed away, didn't he, over the weekend, which
horrendous.
Is really, really awful news. And Jiggs John, also with another super chat, plans for Leeds players on the wildcard, currently triple up. Well, Jiggs, we will come to Leeds in just a second. Maybe we'll do them next. But I want to continue on the Arsenal-Liverpool game, particularly then on Jota and Salah, because Salah again pops up with the goal. Looked, he played all right. Well, don't get me wrong. I think he didn't have his best game, but he took his goal well. The movement to kind of stop and go against Gabriel was really, really good. And as soon as he realised he wasn't going to get tackled, he then just slotted it through the keeper's legs. It was great. But it's Jota that steals the headlines again. So if you're thinking about bringing in a Liverpool forward, or indeed you're going to be on your wildcard next week, which one of those two are you currently bringing in? For me, it's a really easy choice.
I'm going Bale to Jota next week.
Bale to Jota next week. I think that is absolutely on, to be honest with you. My wildcard in 31, we'll have a look at it in a bit. But yeah, I'm Jota all day long. Because he's demonstrated since he's been at the club that if he starts, he gets points. If he starts on the bench and comes on, he gets points. Such a live wire, Jota. I love the guy. What a player.
I think for me, as a neutral, watching Liverpool play Arsenal, I wasn't really neutral. But as a Spurs fan watching this game, I didn't enjoy it without Salah in my team. I must admit, I don't enjoy FPL without Salah. I do really love owning him. I just don't like it without him. But Jota is the one that really impressed me. He came on the bench, came off the bench. He was lively. He was pressing, and Liverpool as a whole unit were pressing in a way that they hadn't been for a few. I mean, they've been sort of doing it a bit more away from home.
We had in that game though.
But yeah, that you
first
had
hour
that
of
game,
that game, we did press.
And that made Jota even better because I'd watched him in a couple of games previous to international break, and he'd been pushing, but nobody else had been.
Yeah.
So he was kind of doing it by himself. But what we saw this time around was that Jota was doing it in conjunction with the rest of the team. And he comes on and gets a brace. Like, I thought he came on with a brilliant attitude. There was no kind of like, oh, I've been left on the bench. Like
No, you won't get that from him.
He comes on, gives his all, and fits perfectly, I think, into that Liverpool structure and the formation and the way that they like to play. So, for me, whilst I think that Salah, I still think there's scope for Salah, and I still do think that
you've got the golden boot to fight for, right?
I still do think you can own Salah. I just think that when you consider the price difference between Jota and Salah and what you're actually going to get for your money, you just go Jota.
And what about the boys at the back now? Trent and Robertson. Trent with an absolute beauty of an assist for Jota's first goal. How are we feeling about those now? How are you feeling about Nat Phillips at 4.0 to cover that Liverpool clean sheet? Because he looks pretty much nailed on now.
It's a difficult one for me, this, because I think now that the clean sheets potentially come because the fixtures should be there.
Maybe, yeah.
For there to be clean sheets.
Oh, 2-1 to United, by the way. 2-1 to United. Was it Luke Shaw? It was not Luke Shaw. It was Greenwood goal, Pogba assist.
Oh, well, that's no good to anyone.
Not a lot there.
What is the point of that goal?
Not a lot to shout about from an FPL perspective. But go on, Trent and Robbo, what are we saying? Or Phillips.
Is this game week? Yeah. So I think now the clean sheets are on, then there's scope. Now, the question I have, really, though, with the Phillips thing, because, of course, you kind of get, you should get what you pay for with Robertson and Trent, because you should get the clean sheets, more potential upside in terms of bonus points, because they should be getting more of the ball in terms of their positioning up and down the field, that sort of stuff. And, of course, there's always a potential for some attacking returns from them as well. But, and if you're wanting to, I think this is where it comes about, isn't it? Because if you were going to invest in Salah, then I think Phillips could be a really nice option because he's a nice, cheap way into the Liverpool defence. But if you're talking about going Jota instead, then really, you don't need to save
the
money.
Would you go Jota and Trent or Phillips and Salah? I think you'd go the first ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going Jota, then you've got scope to go for Trent or Robbo as well.
Okay. All right. What about Arsenal? They're not good. Not good from Arsenal. I think they miss a lot of their younger players. They miss the energy.
Tierney went off again.
Tierney off with an injury is a blow. No doubt about it, is a blow. I don't know what to make of them, to be honest with you. I'm very tempted to have them on the wildcard because it's Sheffield United and Fulham up next. And they've got Newcastle and West Brom in the future.
Rewind
so,
back to game weeks 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
when they had really nice fixtures like this. And we were all like, right, Aubameyang captain, let's invest.
Nothing. You're not bringing in Aubameyang right now, are you?
Well, no, but that's what I mean, isn't it? Like, at the beginning of the season, we did this. We did this very thing. We looked at Arsenal for 2 weeks and we're like, fixtures are great. Given, you know, where we are with our teams, maybe it's something we do. But I, apart from in the North London Derby, I can't remember a time where I've watched Arsenal and thought, you're really good today.
Okay. Gaz is in from our Patreon. Hey, Gaz. He says, people wildcarding this week. Do not touch Arsenal players with a barge pole.
Gaz is an Arsenal
big
fan.
Big Arsenal fan. The body language of some senior players was unacceptable. They just didn't care, especially with... It was Rocky Rocastle's 20-year anniversary as well, of course. Yeah. You'd think that that would inspire the players, but it did not. It was not a good performance.
They just were off it. They were totally off it. And I think, you know, when you look around what you can have for the price that Aubameyang is...
Oh, stop talking about him. No one's bringing him
who
in.
Who else you get?
Saka you'd have, maybe. Saka you'd have, maybe. Or maybe Rob Holding for that assist he's going to get. Tips, I haven't forgotten about that.
I'm just not inspired, let's put it that way.
You're not inspired. All right, well, let's move on then, because we're rapidly running out of time. We did have a super chat about Leeds' assets and what we're going to do with them, Sam. So 2-1. A bit of a shame to see that Osborne goal in and wipe out the Dallas clean sheet. But nevertheless, Leeds did come through.
Got man of the match, didn't he? Absolute plonker. Man of the match and nothing.
All right. Well, what would you make of the game then? 2-1 to Leeds?
I find the Leeds conversation a bit difficult because as a Dallas Bamford owner, I fear that really Dallas should go now. Like, the fixtures aren't there for clean sheets. Not keeping clean sheets against Sheffield United. In fact, they haven't really been keeping clean sheets for most of the season. But you've had Dallas for the attacking stuff that he offers. But I don't see that the fixtures are really there for multiple attacking options.
It's Man City next, then Liverpool, then United, then Brighton away, which is a tricky little fixture. And then it's Spurs. So the next five for Leeds look, frankly, pretty terrible. So if you're on a wild card for next game week...
Because you're trebled up, right?
I am, but I won't be going into next game
week.
How many
are you going
to
keep?
I'm very tempted to keep Rafinha. I'm very tempted
what,
to keep
not
Rafinha.
Bamford?
Not Bamford. No, Bamford will go because I can see better options up there. I can see better options in midfield than Rafinha, maybe, but I just really like the player. I cannot believe, again, he's gone through this game and just got an assist. I mean, even the Jagielka own goal, he's there waiting to tap it in, isn't he? If it's not an own goal, it's a Rafinha tap-in, he gets... You know, goal and assist, 3 bonus points, and we're talking about a 15 pointer from Rafinha. But how many times have I sat here at 8:30 on a Sunday and gone, Rafinha should have had double digits, but he never does. So frustrating. So frustrating. But he is a quality player. He's a quality player, and I do want to keep him. So the answer to the question to the Super Chat, which is it now time to get off of Leeds? I think it's definitely time to get off the treble up, but you'd maybe keep one.
Yeah, because my view is I'm probably going to keep Bamford. And I'm probably going to sell Dallas and keep Bamford. That feels like where I'm going.
Ayush is saying, if you have a decent bench, Dallas can survive. What are we saying about that? We've all got, well, I say we've all got, you're probably going to have a half-decent bench the way that team value has played out this season.
Yes.
If you've got a Dallas or a Rafina or somebody like that, you could maybe hold.
Yes, apart from the fact that I think that there are clubs that I'm not invested in defensively, like Liverpool, like potentially, and it would be potentially for a very short period of time, but like sure. potentially Spurs for the double up, that makes a better case
okay.
than Dallas. Because, you know, when I look at the rest of my defenders, there's not many that I want to sell. I've got Aspilicueta with really nice fixtures. I've got Diaz, who I don't want to sell just yet. I've got Creswell, who I don't want to sell just yet. So actually, you know, to bring in a Liverpool defender, it's probably going to be Dallas that has to make way.
That has to make way. All right, well, there we go. That's the Leeds game. Anything else we want to discuss? We can't talk too much about United because it is ongoing. It's not 1-0 still to Brighton. If I do a refresh, we're going to find quite quickly that it's 2-1 to Manchester United. Any of these games you want to talk about, Sam? We've talked about
most of them. All of them now.
I think that's it, isn't it? Villa versus Fulham. Did we talk about that?
We sort of did. I mean, Fulham just collapsed, didn't they?
It was a
collapse. Which doesn't bode well.
It was a bit of a collapse, no doubt. And it's Everton Palace tomorrow, as well as Wolves versus West Ham. So still plenty of FPL action still to come. I've just got Just Antonio to play.
I've got Creswell and Lingard tomorrow.
So to that end, let's have a look at our scores as they stand. And these were taken at half-time in the Manchester United game, although I don't think that will have changed very much for Shaw and Fernandes. Here's my
Bruno
team.
Got an assist, didn't he?
Did Bruno get an assist? Yes, I think he did for the first one. Yeah, I think so. So mate, I've got some Bruno points. 35 points was the points tally at half-time in the Manchester United game. Really bad again, guys. Honestly, I'm in such a rut at the minute with FPL, but, you know, we'll see.
But again, you look at that team and... you look at that defence.
Oh, I know.
And you think... There should have been just clean sheets all over the place.
Well, I was hoping for more from Alonso. I mean, listen, when that free kick struck the post, I thought, well, could have been a goal, but okay, I'll take the assist. And I'm thinking, well, they'll see out the clean sheet. He gets a couple of bonus points. Happy days.
But he should have got more than that. Because even when the clean sheet went, he had 3 or 4 different moments where he could have got goals or assists in that game.
Yeah, we missed a quick super chat, Sam, by the way. Thank you, Tips, for the heads up. For the wild card, would you have Salah over Bruno and Son? What were you saying?
Sorry, what?
If Salah you were wild card, would you have Salah over Bruno and Son? I think you'd have Son given the game, the double game week, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have Salah over Bruno and Son. No, I'd have Bruno and Son and have Jota instead
of
Salah.
Yeah, I think we're saying pretty much that Jota is the one to have from Liverpool at the minute. No question about that. So yeah, 35 points. Yeah, really average. My overall rank's down to 206. It's like I can't catch a break, to be honest with you. The no Kane has clearly not helped, right? But the rest of the team is really... It's really just not doing the business. Rafinha is a punt that... Not a punt, but I got on him really early because I really liked him. And he just should have done so much better for me as a differential, particularly against you, because you've not owned him, have you?
No.
And then Alonso, you know, I didn't think you're going to concede 5. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. So
you still had the right one, though. If you were going to have a Chelsea defender, you had the right one.
Yeah, it was the right pick. It just didn't come off. Same as Rafinha. It's the right pick. It just hasn't come in, you know. So... I don't know, listen, I'm all over the place with my FPL at the minute, but I have got the wild card to play and we'll look at my team in just a second. Talk me through your team this week, 38 points, so lots of ones and twos, but it's Mr. Kane that's done the business again.
Yeah, right captain, bench is looking ridiculous. I don't know, I mean, I think, I still look at my team and think, I wouldn't have done anything differently. Like, I still would have played those defenders over the ones that I've benched. I still, you know, whatever. I've got Lingard and Creswell to come tomorrow. Kane saving it. 6 points Fernandes is on at the moment, so...
I think there'll be a lot of teams like that, you know. And that's why, again, the Kane haul today... I can't moan too much about it, right? I moaned last week because that's not a penalty and it's a dive and it's horrendous. But today... He took his goals very, very well, and the second was a fantastic goal, so I ain't moaning about it. It was always a risk not having Kane going into this week. I knew the risk. I knew what I was getting myself into, frankly. But had he blanked today, I think we'd have seen a massively low average, and I might be sitting there with, you know, Watkins and an Alonso, you know, assist, and that might be enough for a green arrow. I don't know, but, you know, owning Kane has been a big mistake, no question.
It's tough, and I think, you know, our take is a slightly red arrow at the moment, but if Lingard and Creswell go off tomorrow, it'll be a green arrow. So let's just see how it pans out. I think, I still think my team is quite nicely set, hence the decision not to wildcard this week. But Bounty Otter will set me up then for a bit of a free punt on Spurs for 32. Probably going to end up with Lloris.
Okay. All right. Drew, we're saying, Lee, you've got to hop on the Kane bandwagon. Mate, it is not a bandwagon. It is an essential pick that I just haven't done. I just haven't done because I've tried to do other things.
What is he? Finished as a player.
He's finished as a midfield asset, yeah.
No, not an midfield asset, a player.
Finished as a player, yeah, that's it. Well, if he wins us the Euros in the summer, all will be forgiven.
You get Kane on your back.
It is full time at United 2-1. 2-1 to United. So safe to say, they are, I think, going to finish top five on the United. I can't see that they're going to drop it now, even...
Well, everyone else is dropping it.
Everyone else around them is pretty crap as well, so it's got to be top four for United, you'd think. My rank is absolute guff. My team looks terrible, but here's how I'm going to change it. This is the first draft of my wild card. A couple of changes that I've made already. So Jota is in already, Trent is in already, but the others that I'm looking to... Oh, Mendy is in already. I've already transferred those guys in. But the others that I'm looking to do are as follows. I'm going to bring in Sanchez as my sub goalie. I'm going to go Mendy and Sanchez. The reason for doing that is because Chelsea's fixtures look really, really good. Other than West Ham away in 33 and Man City away in 35, which just so happens to be for Brighton, Sheffield United away and Wolves away. So Sanchez can come in for those 2 weeks and not look too bad. And I can kind of, he's got a reasonable rotation there with Mendy. So Mendy and Sanchez are going to be my two goalkeepers. And I didn't answer the question before, but I do think that was a blip for Chelsea at the weekend. I do think that was a blip. They've got to now deal with no Thiago Silva for a little while, which is going to be a blow for them. But I think with the full team back, I think with Rudiger back in the team, I think they'll be all right, Chelsea. I think they'll be all right. From Wolves, I've gone for Saïss at the back there. So I did have a little look at Cody.
What about Cody?
Well, I did have a look at Cody, and I will have a look at them tomorrow. I'll be scouting both of them quite
Cody,
heavily.
Cody, Mister, I'm going to attack everything.
Well, I know, and this is it's a bit of a dilemma here because they're more or less the same price, Cody and Saïss. I think Saïss is maybe 0.1 more, but what it's come down to for me is, do I think that this new shiny Cody that attacks everything moving is going to carry on being a thing, or do I go with someone who's a bit more tried and tested in FPL? Do you know what I mean? I feel like we can hang our hats a bit more on Saïss. He feels a bit less risky than Cody. But Cody is a far more fun pick. I will give you that.
It's interesting because if I was picking a Wolves player, which I will on my wildcard when I get to it, it would have automatically been Cody.
Yeah. And listen, I've put Saïss in. It absolutely could be Cody.
It's just
absolutely. But I will be looking at that game tomorrow and having a look at both of them and indeed the rest of the Wolves defence to see how I might want to invest in them. Some potential thoughts that Jimenez might be back before the end of the season, which would be fantastic news.
Really?
Fantastic news. I think I read that on the weekend, which would be great. Which
my
would be
love.
Really good.
That'd be amazing.
So the Wolves defence, very much scouting them because their fixtures look phenomenal. Fulham, Sheffield United, Burnley, West Brom and Brighton coming up. It doesn't get much better than that. And if you were to look at the fixture difficulty rating ticker and sort by difficulty, they are right at the top, Wolves. So I fancy them defensively. And if I was going to invest offensively, and again, I'll be scouting tomorrow night, I think I'd go Neto. Neto would be the one to go. I think he's the obvious one. But let's do a bit of scouting tomorrow night. Yeah, you've mentioned Neves in the week. I'm surprised. Nistel Percy is saying, why is Neto not in there? You're right, mate. He absolutely could be. I just want to watch that game tomorrow, get a bit of a feel for how they're doing. But defensively, I think they're okay. It's between Saïss and Cody for me. Trent is in, as I mentioned. I'm backing Liverpool to have turned a bit of a corner. I saw enough in that Arsenal game. I didn't like the way Arsenal played, don't get me wrong, but I really like the way Liverpool played. I think Fabinho's making all the difference. Mm. I think the Champions League's given us a bit of momentum. I do fancy Trent to come back. One of the things I noticed, and again, you can look at all the stats you want and all the crosses completed, everything else, but the way Trent celebrated that assist was phenomenal. I loved it. I absolutely loved it because he's having a difficult game down that side and he whipped in the most beautiful cross for Jota's header and he was giving it, wasn't he? He celebrated like he scored the goal.
Well,
it was incredible and I love to see that.
There was a lot of chatter about how annoyed, upset and quite frankly disappointed he was to miss out on the Euros, on the qualifiers over the last couple of weeks. And I think he's got a point to prove if he wants to go to the Euros this summer. Like he has had a really, really bad season. But in part, I don't think it's his fault. I don't think he's naturally, and I've said this a couple of times this season, I don't think he's naturally that great a defender. But he's a really, really good winger. And he can get back when he has to. And when Van Dijk's there, you don't notice that he doesn't, because there's always someone there to cover it. So I'm hoping that over the next, what we've got left, 8 weeks, that Trent can kind of man up a bit and get himself back into that England squad, because he's a real talent when he's on his game.
Well, when that England squad got announced, I think we were live a few days later on here on FPL Family, and I remember saying to you, if you remember, I said that is a shot across the bow from Southgate. That is not saying, Trent, you ain't coming in the summer. That is, Trent, you're out of form. I want you in form. You come in anyway, but I want you in form for that tournament because you are my first choice right back. And I truly believe that. And we've got some very talented right backs, England, no doubt about it. We're blessed. But Trent, I think, is the best we've got, no doubt. It's only 6 or 8 months ago, he's best in the world. So if he can find a bit of form over these last few fixtures, which look good, if you're going to give Trent some fixtures to find some form, those are the fixtures you've given, 100%. Right? So for me, he's going to come in on my wild card. I'm going to go Rudiger. That might change. But I'm going to go Rudiger because he didn't play and they got battered. So surely he comes back in, surely. And then, as you suggested, I've kept Diaz. I have kept Diaz.
I still think
I want to invest in that Man City defence, because every time they keep a clean sheet, which is most weeks, let's face it, that's going to hurt me, isn't it, having none of them.
Because
they're still quite heavily owned in FPL, right? So it's going to hurt me. So that's a bit of a shieldy hedge, that, to be honest with you.
But it's
a safe one. And I think he's, as we suggested, is probably the safer of the Man City defenders. Son stays, obviously. Got the double game week coming up. Looked very happy to be coming on at half-time, didn't he? Happy to be back in the action. Now, he didn't have a very explosive second half, but then Spurs didn't either. In actual fact, Lamella was through, I think, 2-on-1, and had Lamella put him in rather than play Kane in, I think Son would have scored that. But in the second
half, I think so too. I think there was obviously a bit of precautionary concern about Son because of what happened prior to the international break. But I think, you know, he came on. He didn't show any signs of problems, injury problems, when he came on in that game. So potentially it's just a match fitness thing now.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, he's going to be... Let's be freely frank. We cannot win games. We cannot win games without him on form with Kane. And we have to start winning games if we want to get into Europe next season. Any type of Europe next season.
I just think with the double game week coming up, I've got him. There's no chance I'm taking him out on my wild card.
Who's that lovely little white shirt up front there?
We'll come to him in a minute. Fernandez stays. You know, form might be temporary, but class is permanent. And, you know, all the United fans that listen to this...
You can't take
Bruno
out.
You know my feelings on Fernandes, right? I don't love United. That is a well-known fact. But that guy is a baller. There's no doubt about it. And he is still quality. He still gets in my team. Rafinha stays for now. That might change. But again, speaking of ballers, he's right up there as well. I love him. He's such a great player. And crucially, at that price bracket, 5-5... I don't think there's too many better at 5-5. There's options, but there's not many better.
Away games do Leeds have between
They've
them?
Got City away, and then they've got Brighton away in 34, but it's Liverpool, Man U and Spurs all at home. Why do you say that? What's the
They're just better. Rafinha's better away from home.
Right.
So just simply because I think part of it is to do with pitch conditions, and we've talked about that before, but I do think that if The scope for holding Rafinha is probably greater depending upon the number of away games they have. They like to go away and attack because it's the only thing they know how to do, and Rafinha's really, really good at that. So, I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by the Rafinha. I would have kept Bamford over Rafinha.
Okay. All right, Henry Sampson is saying, got no leads in my wildcard draft. Perfectly fine to have no leads.
Perfectly fine
to have no leads. I just fancy... holding Rafinha. He has been pretty good to me. I do rate him as a player very highly, but he might be a reluctant sell. Let's see. Jota is in for the reasons we mentioned before. I just love him. What a guy. And then Saka. Maybe that's less of an Arsenal pick. More of a... It's the player, but it's the fit. You cannot ignore these fixtures. Sheffield United, Fulham, Newcastle and West Brom are 4 of the next 5. You can't ignore that. Even Arsenal. And I know what Gaz is saying before about don't touch him with a barge pole. But you've got to be invested, haven't you, to take advantage of some of those fixtures? Or are those
clubs going to really turn up because they've really got something to fight for and Arsenal don't?
Yeah. That's a really good point.
Because
and if Gaz was here, he'd agree with you.
Because I promise this isn't an Arsenal Spurs thing. I promise it isn't. But I haven't seen anything from Arsenal that tells me that they're going to go to Fulham and smash them. Or go to Sheffield United and smash them. I just haven't seen that team. Right, they had it for the one, not for North London Derby. They were up for it and they did it. And, and credit to them, they played really well. But those four fixtures are against four teams with absolutely more to fight for than Arsenal have got.
And are Arsenal now, are they just now Europa League?
What can they get?
Slavia Prague. Is it Slavia Prague?
Yeah, I think so.
That is absolutely winnable for Arsenal.
I mean, you look at, they've lost that game, and I know that others have dropped points around them in the league, but there's so many teams above them in the league that to get into fifth, they've got to be reliant on, not only have they got to win games, but everyone else has got to lose games. I can see a real shift of focus from Arteta coming with a real
Didn't look happy today on the touchline, did he?
No,
yesterday.
But I can see him really shifting his focus towards European football because that is their biggest chance of getting back into Europe next season.
All right. Ishan Patel, thanks for the comment. Tipping Maddison to do well. He really wants to get into that Euro squad. I like him as well. Bossman525 needs a bit of J-Lings on that wildcard league. You're absolutely right, Bossman. One of the things I could do is I could forfeit one of my defenders. I could get rid of Saiss and do Saka to Lingard instead. That's where I'd find the money. And when I say sacrifice Saiss, I mean taking him down to a 4.0, which might be a terrible thing, but you've got Nat Phillips sitting there. So I could have Nat Phillips and Lingard instead of Saiss and Saka. So that is in my thoughts. If I don't fancy Saka...
Where's all your money gone?
All of my money's up front now. And I'm quite heavily invested at the back. If you think about Diaz, Trent, Shaw, they're all over 5 million. And now I've got over 5 million keeper as well. And now I've got two strikers over 10 as well. It's not in midfield. It's not in midfield. I haven't got De Bruyne. I haven't got Salah. I haven't got Aubameyang. I haven't got these guys. But I have got Jota. And I have got Son, I've got Fernandes, and I've got Saka there as well.
The Vardy pick interests me.
Yeah, and again, this is, as you can see, guys, draft 1.0. There will be different drafts over the course of the week, no doubt about it. This time next week, I will be on draft goodness knows what. But again, is it a bit of a fixture pick, that Vardy? Have I been seduced by the fixtures? Well, it's the Leicester, well-documented Leicester fixtures. West Brom, Palace, Southampton and Newcastle from 32 onwards.
West Brom, Palace, Southampton and Newcastle.
Yeah, it's a dream. Absolute dream.
Is it?
Yeah. You could not hand-pick better fixtures than that, surely, for Leicester City.
I mean, did you see West Brom bet 5 past Chelsea?
A team that are playing for something as well, Leicester City. Surely. A
team that collapsed last season.
They've learned from that, though, haven't they?
From it yesterday.
I don't know.
West Brom did. Look, I'm being facetious, to be honest, but I think my honest opinion on Vardy is that I pay for Maddison instead and save some money.
That's interesting, that is interesting. Because I could do Maddison rather than Saka and then have some other striker that, you know, is probably in the sort of 7 or 8 million bracket. I'm not going in.
Look, my okay, here's what, if that was my team, if I was wildcarding now, I'd have Calvert-Lewin.
Would you?
Yeah.
Calvert-Lewin ahead of Brighton, Spurs, Arsenal, Villa and West Ham. Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison.
No. If I was wildcarding now, I'd have Maddison and Calvert-Lewin over Vardy.
Interesting. Eddie Casey, what about West Brom's Deanne? Listen, I'm not going anywhere near West Brom. I still think that was a bit of a fluke. Listen, lots to be discussed, right? Lots to be discussed.
But and also, you can't have Kane anywhere. It's not allowed.
I've got to have Kane.
When you try and make that transfer, the game's going to go, uh-uh.
I'm literally bleeding out on the floor here without Kane. If I don't stop the rot, it's just, I've got to have him. He's cost me my season. And rightly so, because I called him finished last season. He's basically stuck two fingers up to me.
I love that.
Jamie Vardy, though, yeah. Am I getting seduced by those fixtures and just going, well, it's Vardy, he's on the pens, you know, he's assured of starts. Maybe I should be thinking a bit more strategically, maybe a Maddison or... I'm not keen on Iheanacho, by the way. I'm not keen on him.
I just think that Vardy's quite a lot of money when...
Yeah, I could say that, yeah.
When you could have a combination of other players. Like, you could probably... I don't know if it works on your actual budget, but you could probably have somebody like, I don't know, Calvert-Lewin, or even take him down a bit further and be able to afford to have Maddison instead of Saka without you then having to take out Saiss if you really want him. Like, I think I don't think that Vardy's that much better a pick than Maddison, if that makes sense, budget-wise.
If I was to take Vardy out, could I just could I be a bit safer and have Bamford back in there and upgrade Rafinha to somebody like a Maddison? Could I do that?
Yeah.
Could I do
and
that?
And you could potentially also, maybe, if you did that, if you took him all the way back down to Bamford, you could potentially upgrade Maddison and Saka to Lingard and
could be
Maddison.
Yeah, it could be. Anyway, lots to discuss. Marks out of 10 for the Wildcard Draft 1.0?
7.
That's higher than I thought you'd say, to be honest.
No, I think the keepers are good. They're well thought out. You've got the double up on Spurs, which is important. I think the back line looks really good. It's the Vardy and then those peripheral players around the midfield that I think are the problem. I'm really not convinced about Arsenal. I sort of understand your point about Rafinha, but I think Bamford's a better pick than Rafinha. So I'd probably be tempted to have him, not Vardy, and not Maddison.
Let's see what a few of you guys are saying. Ishan Patel, got to have Maddison over Vardy. Vardy is way too expensive. Way too expensive. Fahim Mazoud, thank you, Fahim. He's saying take Rafinha out and have Maddison, as we were suggesting, potentially. Sanjay Patel, no to Bamford. Don't go to Bamford. And Eddie Casing, Leo Sam, should I go Rashford now? Should he go Rashford? Well, listen, based on, we haven't seen the game tonight, but if he's got the goal, maybe. But I haven't seen enough from Rashford, I don't think, to invest in him. But
I think you go Bruno, don't you, you know?
You probably do. You probably do. James Ward saying Benteke playing well. James, don't tempt me, mate. Don't tempt me. Well, there we go. That is it for another FPL family. Lots of wildcard chat to be had, I suspect, over in our Patreon Slack, over on Twitter, if I'm allowed back on there. I'm sure even you could post a couple of my wildcards on Instagram if you wanted to. You'd be very welcome to.
Send me some drops. So
are you up to 10k yet? Are you getting there?
It's been very slow the last couple. In fact, this weekend I lost 10 followers. I mean, how does that happen?
I'll tell you how that happens. Everyone's on Twitter going, Lee's a numpty. I'm going to unfollow FPL Family from all social media.
I'm not a numpty, though. I don't say anything about anybody.
You're associated with me, which is the problem this weekend.
Oh, Lord above. So if you have unfollowed me on Instagram...
Do you know what's ironic about this weekend? I've taken pelters for Watkins. He's single-handedly saving me this game. He's actually my highest scorer and probably should have been my captain, Ollie Watkins.
Absolutely.
The
incredible man,
the myth, the legend, Ollie.
And you benched him.
I benched him.
Yet again, Lee gets points off his bench. Yet again.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's it for another FPL Family. You can follow us on Twitter at FPL Family, Instagram at FPL Family. If you're new to the channel, we'd love you to hit that subscribe button. We're trying to get up to 20k before the summer kicks in. That would be great. So if you're new to the channel, hit that little subscribe button. Really helps us out with all the YouTube algorithms and all that sort of stuff. And that like button helps us as well. Helps us reach new people, helps us reach other new audiences if you leave us a like before you go. Any pods or official shows or any of that sort of stuff going on this week?
I don't know.
You don't know? You always know.
I don't know what's happening. Jeff, I don't know what's happening with the pod. I need to find out. We're not doing the show this week. We will be back on the show next week. Okay. And then Lee will be back on again the week after. So we're having a show week off.
Probably best that I don't go on the show this week. If I went on the show and said, here's my wild card, and then played something totally different, I'd be head on the chopping block again. Oh, man. I feel like the Piers Morgan of FPL in a minute. Just taking pelters left, right, and centre.
That is not a good place to be.
It's shocking.
So I don't know about the pod. You might get a surprise visit from one of... You probably will get a surprise visit from one of us on the pod. I don't know. I'll find out later. I'll put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
But no show this week. There will be a Scout the Game Week this week. So keep your eyes out for that. Ears out for that. That'll be out, I think, Wednesday night. But I will confirm that as well.
There we go, guys. Well done in game week 30. If you got anything more than 2 points for every single player, which is basically what happened to me, except for the man, the myth, the legend, Ollie Watkins.
Should have put Kane up here, shouldn't I? In fact,
is there a Kane Elite sticker? Presumably there is.
Oh, there is, yeah. And there's a magic moment, isn't there? Sticker with Kane and Son having a bit of a...
We've got to think a little bit about what we do with this board. We've got to think about it a bit more. How is it relevant to the podcast? The podcasters can tune off now. That's it. That's the end for them. We'll think about it. We'll put some thought into it.
Well, I don't really know how I'm going to make it relevant to the podcast.
No, I don't know. No, I mean,
I don't have the scope to be able to get into their sight line.
Cheers, guys. Thank you for joining us tonight. Leave us a like before you go, and we'll see you this time next week for another FPL Family. Cheers, guys.